A message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
I have adopted sophisticated terrorist tactics, and I'm a dangerous, dangerous man with dangerous, dangerous women. I want to drain the coal resources in America and foreign sources of crude oil. I am a weapon of mass destruction. I'm a brutal dictator. I'm evil.
I'm not your nerd. kill. Welcome to the war. Cocksucker. The next morning, the one survivor, Sally Hardesty Enright, was picked up on a roadside, blood-caked and screaming murder. Sally said she had broken out of a window in hell. The girl babbled a mad tale. A cannibal family in an isolated farmhouse. Chainsawed fingers and bones. Her brother, her friends, hacked up for barbecue. Chairs made of human skeletons. Then she sank into catatonia. Broken out of a window in hell. Chairs made of human skeletons. Cannibal. Broken out of a window in hell. Chairs made of humans. Now move! Chainsawed fingers and bone. We'll be right back.
at the whole question of police brutality, of the police being an arm of the state, of the government, and it's the government that's the problem. So these crimes will take place as long as this government exists and as long as we are weak and cannot fight back. Fight back. Fight back. Ha ha ha!
Hey, Alex B, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, classic Alex B, I should say. Yeah, pleased to hear the Angel of Death in there. yeah, welcome to the show. Actually, it's a good show from my point of view, because when we were originally thinking about doing the radio program, and one of the first people we thought of was Alex, just because he's been producing, well, he's been promoting a lot of the kind of styles of music that we've been playing on the show for an enormously long time in London. We figured if there's going to be someone who it'd be good to get a sort of retrospective sort of look at things with, Alex would be that person. So yeah, it's good to have you on, Alex.
Ah, excellent, thank you very much. Really enjoyed that. That was really good fun.
Yeah, hopefully our neighbours aren't so cross from Thursday night still, so hopefully they enjoyed it as well. I think we've tried to prepare some questions that hopefully is going to give us a chance to get a bit more of like an understanding of what Alex has been doing musically in London. Come on, you want to hit off with your...
Sure. Well, I wrote your introduction, which is it's kind of irrelevant now, because we've done it the other way around, so I thought... would you like me to read it anyway?
Yeah, I think...
Okay, here we go. Our first guest is high-kicking, straight-edge speed freak Alex B., the restless force behind Sick and Twisted and singer of bassist in Leech Woman, and he's kindly agreed to take time out of his schedule to pop in on us here at LFM. So that's all completely irrelevant. Because it's totally right. But anyway, Sick and Twisted has been going for just over 10 years now. So what drove you to start it up initially?
To start up initially was just a completely selfish indulgence in wanting to DJ somewhere but not being allowed because I wasn't known. And everyone just looked at me and went, oh, can't have you. So I started Sick and Twisted in May 1996, did the first two down at the Rocket in North London. Had friends at the student union who said, yeah, you can do whatever you like. So I did, and that was fun. First one, we had Tora and Christoph Ringelli. I think Simon Underground did it as well, Ultraviolence. And that was cool. So we did two there. Then moved to... We did a couple at the Dungeons. I teamed up with Simon. Simon from Funky and Crapshoot Records. He came in on that one. That was cool. And then we didn't do one for ages. And then I did some at the 333 with my girlfriend Nama, who is still co-promoter of Sick and Twisted. If it wasn't for her, then Sick and Twisted would have died a long time ago. But she decided that we were getting bored, which was entirely true, and kicked our asses into gear and brought Sick and Twisted back, and been going pretty strong since then. We did a long run of monthly slots upstairs at the garage, which was for just over 5 years, and that ended in December
that
last year.
Did have the sort of feeling of, yeah, just it was very regular for a very long time.
Yeah, and then luckily, I think, for the whole of London as a general, a lot more crews got together and a lot more people decided to do things. So it meant that we could kind of stop being quite so forceful with our agenda, in a way. So that was kind of nice. And now we do Sick and Twisted kind of sporadically every 2 or 3 months. We've been doing them at Electro Works in Angel, doing them all night, which has been really good fun, because it was a long time since we did an all-night session, so I'm thoroughly enjoying that. So that's a brief history of Sick and Twisted.
Yeah. And quality. Yeah, we were sort of hoping that we'd get a little bit of a rundown of it. At the time that you were sort of starting out, what kind of music were you playing then? Because I guess over 10 years it must have changed quite a bit, but I imagine there's probably things you
Yeah, early industrial strength stuff, of course. Kind of quite a lot of the first sort of lump of sort of speedcore and... harsh non-Dutch gabba, you know, stuff from Australia and some American bits like Delta 9 and I'd say all the industrial strength stuff, all the Bloody Fist stuff. But then we were gradually searching out, I mean, labels like Praxis and the UK labels like Surgeon 16 were pushing out some really mental stuff. There's some good people kind of experimenting. I always went for either really harsh banging industrial stuff or anything with guitars in it, surprisingly enough. Coming from a bit of a punk and metal background. But yeah, it was some friends of mine, actually, a receptionist where I used to work. She used to be involved with a group called Avit Army, and she was punk back in the day in 77, and they got into Gabba really early on and was giving me tapes. So listen to this. I was going, I don't like techno. She went, no, this is different. And it was, and it got me hooked. So, but yeah, it's like, we were the first people, I think, to play in London, definitely, all the kind of emerging kind of breakcore and raggacore stuff. When we were first playing the Blood Club Gangster Youth 7-inch that Scud put out on 4 Watts, it would clear the dance floor, no one would dance to it. But we'd play it 3 times a night anyway. Scud would play it twice. Yoke would play it twice. I'd play it once. And eventually people got used to it. But it's like when first had like a Phasic DJ at Sick and Twisted, he'd say, why did you book me? No one dances to my music. But the place was packed and everyone moved. So hopefully we helped change people's minds about experimenting a bit more within the harder realms of breaks and 4/4 sort of stuff.
How do you feel the scene has changed over the last 10 years?
It's changed in a lot of good ways. There's a lot more people doing stuff, which is great. There's a lot of cooperation within the scene, which is really nice. It really reminds me of all the DIY punk stuff years ago. People try not to clash events because there really aren't that many people in London into this sort of thing. So everyone seems to support each other. The No Fixed Abode guys are really cool. The Crossbones crew are great. Adverse Camber, yourselves, Ill Industries are really cool. Yeah, a lot of really, really cool bods out there, and a lot of people who want to make it like varied and exciting. I mean, I know even though there are a lot of people playing the same nights, each night has its own personality, which is really good. Nothing's a clone of something. No one's tried to clone Sick and Twisted. No one's tried to clone the Adverse Camber things. No one's tried to clone Bang Face. No one's tried to. Everyone's gone about it in their own individual way, which is really nice, because it means that if you don't like what Adverse Camber do, you might like what Sick and Twisted do or Ill Industries do. But there'll be, hopefully there'll be something within all of these things that anyone who's into the harder, more experimental end of electronics will like and, you know, go for.
Yeah, that, I definitely agree that I think it's good that the scene has sort of got those options in it. So yeah, it's a succinct way of thinking about it as well.
The difference between what we've done with Sick and Twisted as well is that we didn't really get involved in the squat scene because we didn't have our own rig. I certainly didn't have any intention of buying a rig and carting it about with me and risking it being impounded. That just wasn't my thing at all. I was always into doing it in legal venues with proper bars and stuff like that. Not to say that the squat scene isn't good, it's just something I didn't want to personally do with Sick and Twisted. I didn't want to move it into that area. But say that's about the only difference between us and some of the other crews out there, is that they're all willing to put their name to a squat thing. If something came up and we did someone offered us a slot on their rig, which you guys have done before in a semi-legal or squat venue, then we're
dungeons.
Yeah, we're quite happy to do that, but actually going out and finding somewhere and setting up, it's just nice. It's not my thing.
Not the two of you as well.
No, yeah.
It struck me, like, from doing our radio project here, I've definitely been pleased to, sometimes at a party you do lose, if it's a sort of hastily organised affair in an interesting kind of venue, then you do sometimes lose a kind of quality of playback that you can get in a club and you can get in a legal place where you've got time to set up. And I think I think that definitely set Sick and Twisted like apart from a lot of other places you can hear music, because it was you're pretty guaranteed to stay there until 3 or 4 in the morning, unless of course you fell asleep, which I did one time and was ejected.
pretty much every single time, except for 2 or something like that.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it's a pleasant place to sleep. Friday night after you finished work, it's kind of
soothing distortion. And
Back to the womb chill out building site thing.
It just occurs to me off the top of my head. But another thing that I think was quite institutional was that little back room at the upstairs at the garage. I think a lot of it's quite an interesting little. Sort of pocket of time and space, that.
Well, we always try and find somewhere with a space away from the terror, so that you can go and relax and chill out a bit and stuff, and not be faced with 300 BPM or excessively broken treble noise, so that it isn't just a complete ordeal. Because, you know, anything above, like, I don't know, most people can't handle about 2 or 3 hours of it, so it's nice to be able to escape just enough, and we always kind of like to find that, but we'll never ever play fucking fluffy ambient crap in a chill out room. If we play anything in a chill out room, it'd probably be Coil. An ill out room. We had one of those once.
Chill out, not more spine chilling.
Yeah, more spine chill out. Yeah.
Sort of deviated a bit, in fact, from the programme there. But, who are you sort of particularly listening to at the moment? Who's sort of new on your playlist, as it were?
New on my playlist? I'm really, really got into a Dutch gabber label called DNA, which is dark, negative and antisocial, with the likes of Enoid and Dark Controller, and I can't remember who else, but it's good, just thumping industrial gabber. Really like them at the moment. Label wise, Subversion have been knocking out some really cool stuff. The Last Vile Engines and Scud were brilliant. Who else? Praxis, always look out for stuff on there. Zombie Flesh Eater has got to be one of my favourite new people, because he's just completely just wrong. And he played such a blinding set at the last Sick and Twisted. It was just horrendously just nasty. And it was great, kind of... Because upstairs was people like Wolf Eyes and playing, and then people would come downstairs to our room for maybe thinking it would be slightly tamer and be confronted with Zombie Flesh Eater, and then immediately just kind of overdose on the sheer barrage of hideous frequencies he was throwing out. Also, really enjoying Cutting Pink with Knives at the moment. Not strictly... breakcore or gabber, but somewhere between breakcore, gabber and big black, so lots of nasty angular guitars and shouting and demented beats. Don't know, I'm really fussy about what I pick to play. That's why my record collection doesn't change an awful lot on that front. But latest noise creator, the Flesh Undead clear vinyl on Active Underground, that's great.
Which you heard earlier on.
Yes, it was the first time I've played it out. It's the first time I've actually had time to think about how I can put it in the set, and I was very happy. I've actually managed to hear it properly, so I have to figure out how to put it on into a set at a night. But new people, it's kind of difficult, because it's like it always seems to take people. We get people's stuff. We're quite lucky. We get people's sending us CDRs and things when they first get going, and one of the people who did that was Machino Christ, and the first couple of CDRs he sent us, they had some really cool ideas but weren't particularly well put together. But he played at Sick and Twisted in February, I think, and it was amazing, really, really cool. He hasn't got anything out yet, but he should have soon, and I think that's a name to look for, is Machino Christ, definitely. Come on, Tamil.
I think this is you.
Okay, so over, what would you say is the sickest moment of the past 10 years?
Sickest moment, club-wise, probably Venetian Snares' first ever UK show was at Sick and Twisted, and that was completely mental. The night got sponsored by Terrorizer, so we had loads of metal people come up, and there was stage diving, and things broke, and there was beer everywhere, and it was complete mayhem. That was excellently sick.
I heard that Aaron Funk picked Dave up on his shoulder and ran round.
He probably did. I can't remember. It was rammed to the gills in there, and it was completely insane. And I think that's one of the sickest shows we've had at Sick and Twisted. Either that or Dormouse was quite sick, mainly because he got undressed. Shitmat, always completely sick. Weirdly enough, yeah, it's all the kind of mental breakcore people that are the more... deranged, although like full on gabber people are quite stoic in their performances, which is up to them. But yeah, I think Sick and Twisted, and yeah, there was some weird girl turned up and decided to hump one of the Geordie Gabber Mafia on stage without taking her clothes off, without taking his clothes off, and I think he got somewhat embarrassed about that. It was Rob from the Geordie Gabber Mafia, was suddenly pounced on by this amazing looking tall black girl. And yeah, that was quite... I think that goes down as one of the most twisted.
that was the next question. Yeah, well, most twisted moment.
Most twisted moment. I think that was one of them, definitely. In the early days of Sick and Twisted, when I first got hold of projectors and stuff, first things I did was I was displaying loads of medical stuff and showing things like Faces of Death, which kind of left a few people somewhat traumatised.
That is quite a traumatic film.
And then we stopped doing that, but now we're down at Electroworks. I can put a few slides up and we can play just mad Japanese horror films in the cinema section if we're doing two rooms, which is, yeah, kind of twisted in a way.
You had that the last one, didn't you?
Well, we had it the last two, yeah. Yeah. Which is great. People were sitting there going, "What's this?" And looking all worried. "Ah, this is Electric Dragon 80,000 volts." And I go, "I don't... What? Oh." So yeah, hours of bombardment of just sheer ferocious music and then bombardment with just bizarre imagery. That's what you need.
Yeah, what have we got left on our...
And finally, I have it on good authority that from a very reliable source that maybe about 10 years ago, maybe more recently, they used to be in the self-proclaimed worst punk band in London.
Absolutely.
Did you really suck?
Yes, but in a good way. We were bad but entertaining. We were a band called Working With Tomatoes who changed their name to Uncle Fister towards the end of their career. Which maybe was a good move. The only thing they ever released was under the name of Uncle Fister, and that was on a Household Name compilation. Their first ever release, and Household Name are possibly the best... probably one of the best punk labels in the UK.
Still going,
I think they released a Leech Woman track as well on the same album, one of their first Leech Woman releases. But, we were dreadful. Utterly appalling. Utterly appalling. What we lacked in talent, we made up in feedback and shouting. Yeah, completely appalling. We did ridiculous hardcore versions of Bela Lugosi's Dead and Tainted Love, and as well as some of our own completely appalling ditties. But yeah, no, we were bad. We were so bad, in fact, we had to invent a human Stonehenge with me and my brother as the uprights and our other guitarist Stuart as the across sort of vertical part of it, and we'd do a kind of ballady version of Motorhead.
Wow.
Yeah. So we sucked, but we had fun.
Right. I reckon. When is the next Sick and Twisted?
Hasn't been decided as yet. We booked a date, but we got to change it because I double booked it with something that we were doing. So yeah, news will be soon, and as soon as I get it, I'll let everyone know. If you want to check out the website, it's www.sickandtwisted.org. And I actually have a MySpace, which is completely unreadable because I did it in really nasty colours. And that's Alex B. Sick and Twisted, obviously, myspace.com/AlexB.SickandTwisted. And we have the Leech Woman one as well, which is myspace.com/LeechWomanNoise, some fine people are our friends on there, so you can go and visit them as well.
Make friends with him today.
Yes, please do. And anyone wants to give me any DJ slots, please get in touch. I'd much... love to. God, that was appalling English, wasn't it? I'd much love to come and play your rig or your club. It would make me happy.
Me have records, me playing your club. Thank you.
Everything in the red.
Quality, you've been listening to LFM.
Keep it clipped.